Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.
And I'm your co-host, Shay Northern.
Today we talk about cyber terrorism and U.S. Army AI.
We also talk about the PlayStation 4 Pro and its new PC dongle.
And a myriad of other great stories. But coming up right now is how the U.S. failed to stop the largest or worst cyber attack in history. Now, one of the major problems of being, computerized in the modern era,
right,
is there's not enough cybersecurity. A new congressional report provided previously undisclosed details and a behind-the-scenes chronology of the worst ever cyber attack in the United States, laying out missed opportunities before the break-in at the Office of Personnel Management exposed security clearances, background checks, fingerprint records, and more. Now, this is a pretty big problem. Now, I don't actually know of the Office of Personnel Management. I'm assuming it probably deals with a lot of important people, because in theory, if there's anybody here, say, that's going to be like FBI or have top secret clearance or do anything remotely hush-hush, you know, our bad guys could find where they are, you know, that kidnap a family member, and basically they've got an in. I mean, this is horrible.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting to note that, like, it's said nowadays war isn't fought with guns, but it's fought with intelligence.
No, totally. And this, well, I would say in the last 100 years, I'd say since World War II, it's been less and less about the tools of war, but then the information. I'd say it really kind of started with the Germans' Enigma machine.
Right. Yeah.
When we figured out how to crack it, you know, that provided us the keys to the kingdom. I mean, that was partially the reason why
Navajo code talkers were definitely a big part of that as well. They couldn't crack our code.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is because Navajo is apparently, from what I've read, is such a hard language to learn. They actually say that you pretty much have to be born into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the report by the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform faulted the personnel agency for failing to secure sensitive data despite warnings for years that it was vulnerable to hackers. It concluded that the hacking revealed last year could have been prevented if OPM had put in place basic required security controls recognized from an earlier break-in. So basically, this is they were told what to do, and somebody higher up said, "That's okay, let's forget about it." And they could honestly do some major damage depending on the records that were stolen.
And it's a shame. Like, as we go more and more into the 21st century, we need to be ready for hacking attacks. Like, that's just something that's, it shouldn't even be thought about, but we have so many, like, what's the word, people who aren't familiar with how technology works, that it's become a huge problem.
See, my thinking is, it's, I could totally see that. I mean, it's people who use, like, 1, 2, 3, you know, the old right, movie cliche of passwords being, you know, love, secret, sex, or God. But the other issue, I think, is because our equipment in the United States is so old. If you look, like, the major trope in the news is how the power grid, you know, is so ancient that any bored high school student could take out the entire power grid of the United States. And that's apparently an actual major concern, because from what I've read, it doesn't look too hard to break into if you even know what you're doing.
Right.
It's just, you know, for 2 months, the personnel office worked with the FBI, NSA, and others to monitor hackers to better understand his movement. But, I mean, I understand you want to catch the guy, but how about locking the door before you try to catch the criminal?
Seriously. Seriously.
The breach was not detected until April 2015, when OPM contract employees traced the flow of stolen materials back to an internet address that had been registered to a Steve Rogers, the alter ego, ego of Captain America. By the way, that's hilarious.
Definitely.
You got to see that the fact the hacker had some sense of humor.
Well, most of them do.
I don't know. To me, this is horrible. But I think it goes back to what Shay was saying is it's not necessarily bullets, but it's electrons it's fought with. I mean, allegedly, China has a whole building full of hackers. Russia's been doing it for years, and we do it back. We sent out the Stuxnet, STUX virus, and stopped Iran for a while from enriching uranium.
Right.
So this is something that's done, you know, worldwide. But if, you know, if you're going to send out people, if you're going to get hackers to hack other people, you know, you got to make sure you have your, you know, protection up before you do it.
Well, and not just that. If we're behind on hackers, how are we going to deal when artificial intelligence starts taking over the war field, like the battlefield?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's coming up sooner than later. I mean, we have drone helicopters. We've got drones with missiles. It's a matter of time before...
Pretty soon, we're going to have to figure out ways to knock these things out of the sky.
Matter of fact, I read recently that the United States is close or just set to sail a new... Was it a battleship or cruiser? And it has less people on it because of mechanization. And it's a new stealth battleship or... I don't actually remember the classification. But when something like this that has a lot of automation, if there's a way to hack it or hurt it, you know.
Interesting to note, too, the DOD, Department of Defense, their science board has just released a broad study on autonomy, recommending immediate action to counter the enemy artificial intelligence. So, and I quote, "For years, it's been clear that certain countries could and most likely would develop the technologies to use cyber and electronic warfare against the U.S. forces."
Wait. Hold on. Just a little bit. They had to do a study?
I guess so.
Maybe they're not just hiring the biggest and brightest anymore, but isn't that a little obvious if China, Russia, you name them, has the ability, they're going to use it. That's not if. That's kind of like
a when.
Don't you guys watch sci-fi? Come on.
It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, but this is something we should seriously be worried about. There's a little truth in science fiction. And to continue the quote, "Yet most of the U.S. efforts focused on developing offensive cyber capabilities without the attention of hardening U.S. systems against attack from others." So I've heard the term "the best defense is a good offense," but when it comes to cyber warfare, that is not the case. Unfortunately, in both domains, that neglect has resulted in the DOD spending large sums of money today to patch systems against potential attacks. So like you were saying earlier, instead of, I don't know, locking your doors and having a Rottweiler, you're leaving them open and just... buying new TVs when people steal them.
See, this sounds... I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's called the David Crockett Rocket. It's a personal handheld-ish nuclear missile. It was a weapon system gun designed to launch nuclear weapons on the on the battlefield. The problem with it is you were in the blast zone. This is pretty much...
I do remember hearing about
this
that.
This is pretty much what we're doing. We're having offensive capabilities, but we're getting blown away by very, very, very poor management on the security level. I don't see why they're focusing solely on offense. I mean, because it worked great in World War I until somebody invented the tank. I mean, come on. This is just lame. I'm sorry.
Also, they say that the DOD should invest resources into developing and learning AI systems that can be deployed on the battlefield. Essentially, have you ever seen that movie Surrogates?
Yes.
With, I think, Bruce Willis?
Yes, yeah, that's the one that had, like, these personal, like, robot-type things, right?
Yeah, so nobody went out in person anymore. You had these surrogates, these robots that you lay down in bed, and they go to work, and you control them with your mind, basically.
Yes, I
see. And complete wars are fought with surrogates, like cheap surrogates, and whoever has the most surrogates at the end wins the war. And I feel like that's kind of how we're going, and we need to be really kind of focused on how we can integrate AIs on the battlefield if we're going to be seeing the same threats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is just... You've got to plan well. I mean, if you don't plan to fail, you fail to plan. And in either way, they've got to do better than what they're doing, because this is just, wow. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to commercial. When we get back from commercial, we're going to be talking about Mercedes-Benz has a van that launches drones.
We're also going to be talking about the new PlayStation 4 and a stand-up wheelchair, if we get to it.
Awesome.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Mercedes-Benz vans and drone tech startup Maternet, M-A-T-T-E-R-N-E-Net, have created a concept car, as they're calling it, is a vision van that can change the very way small packages are delivered in short distances. The van's rooftop serves as a launching pad and landing pad for Maternet's new Maternet M2 drone. The Maternet drone, which are autonomous, can pick up and carry a package up to 4.4 pounds across 12 miles of sky and a single battery charge in real-world conditions. How do you feel about this? This is still, to me, this still seems a really lame gimmick.
It sounds silly. It reminds me of Transformers.
I was going to say, it reminds me a little bit of, it was a movie with Tom Cruise where he could predict, people are predicting the future.
Oh, is that Live, Die, Repeat?
No, it's the movie Minority Report. And the reason why this reminds me of it is they have these little drones in this movie. And it just seems like something to me that this is more of a law enforcement tool than a delivery pack, delivery thing.
Just to kind of go back and a little bit in the past, do you remember the game Half-Life 2?
Yes.
So in Half-Life 2, the police, the Combine, they have the cars, right? But they send out those little drones with the buzz saws to come after you. That's what that kind of reminds me of a little bit.
I love the idea that you have a bunch of people, including Pizza Hut, wanting like delivery vehicles. But this seems too like, too Buck Rogers to me. I think it's a neat idea, but honestly, if you live where I live, there's a good chance somebody's going to shoot down the drone.
Exactly. I was going to say, you better make sure they're bulletproof.
And you, everybody's out there. It's like, oh, how nobody's going to do that. Oh, yes, they will. In my neighborhood, where I live, I guarantee somebody's going to do, hey, I want free stuff. Boom. Jackpot.
Well, not just that. Like, I could see it being, too, some smart kid figures out that he can interrupt the signal, and can get it to fly to his house.
I don't know. I mean, I really do think it's a neat idea, but I'm a little past the drone craze.
I don't know. I think that they're just going to get better and better. Like, I know it's kind of a bit of a fad, but I think once we figure out how to use them a little bit more practically, I think once the military starts using them a little bit more than they are, like,
so
I think
this is that you think this is more hybrid versus snap bracelets?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. I'm totally.
When we first started the show, I would have said that drones are a fad, and I don't see them, becoming that big of a thing. But as the year has progressed, I just keep seeing more and more things involving drones, and I feel like it's just kind of evolving. I don't feel like drones are going away.
Well, I feel this is still kind of a fad. I don't think drones are going away, but if you look back in time, when Madame Curie discovered radiation, you had these. these things in shoe stores that would use radio x-rays to see if your shoes fit. You'd have radium pills that were supposed to improve your vitality. I mean, not to say that a drone's going to, you know, kill you like radiation, but it just seems like they're trying to find solutions to problems that don't actually exist.
I could see that. But I think that once that all's over with and we actually find a practical use for it, then it will be used. Kind of like how radiation and nuclear energy is used for power plants now.
No, I agree. And it's also going to be the greatest way to spy on your neighbor as soon as they're quieter. Because the one I have access to sounds like a herd of bees.
Yeah, well, and you keep seeing them more and more in shows and movies now. I believe it was in The League. Have you ever watched that show?
No.
I don't really care about football or fantasy football for that matter, but the show The League is hilarious. There's a episode where Taco is chasing down one of the other characters with a drone.
I do have to say I'm a real big fan of drones being used in cinematography.
Oh, yeah. They're never going away as far as like camera work goes. You slap a GoPro on one or even some of the ones that are designed to carry heavier cameras. You get some really nice aerial shots without having to pay a helicopter.
Yeah, because as soon as you're able to strap a RED camera to it and have it do, you know, autonomous planning, and I really do love it for cinematography.
You can do that. That's something you can do.
Being a really big fan of drones, of movies. So I'm looking forward to see exactly how it goes. But
One of the things that's also kind of interesting is an Israeli startup company called the Up and Ride Robotics. It's launching an innovative, upright, self-stabilizing wheelchair at a medical conference in Germany next month. And they're hoping that the device will hit the market next year. So I don't know if you've seen what the video is. It's basically, it's got four wheels. And it's kind of like a Segway mm-hmm. for people who can't walk. So it's a...
I know there's been ideas for wheelchairs like that around for a long time. There's a wheelchair that allegedly helped you climb stairs. Now, I don't know if any of you actually have friends or family who are handicapped like that way. A good friend of mine has been in a wheelchair since I've known him. I think this is pretty cool. If this helps anybody to be a little bit more free... I know from what I've seen, the hardest thing to do is reach stuff that are like on the top shelf.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's supposed to be easier to move over urban terrain.
And the other thing is you're actually getting some exercise, and exercise in the way the fact that if it's able to help you stand up and get blood flowing going.
Yeah.
Being in a wheelchair definitely presents some health risks. So if this helps change positions and stuff, I think this is totally worth it. And does it give a price?
It says that the high end of the wheelchairs can cost anywhere between $15,000 and $50,000.
Man, that's not
American dollars.
Honestly, that's not too bad.
No, it's not.
Especially if the person, you know, is like quadriplegic, those motorized wheelchairs are insanely expensive.
Well, I think the best thing about this is the self-esteem part, because now they can have mobile disabled people can have a face-to-face conversation with everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I quote from Goffer himself, the dignity, self-esteem, to feel like a part of society again, the core of society, not on the fringe of society. The psychological effects is dramatic.
Oh, no. I completely agree. I think it gives people more autonomy. It gives people the ability to live lives without assistance much. It just helps improve their lives in anything. And I mean anything that'll help people to live their lives better and on their own terms, I'm totally for.
Oh, yeah. But not just that. But like, again, you were talking about the health aspect of it. It helps with the cardiovascular system, the respiratory system, and other problems that, you know, can be arrived from just sitting down all the time.
I'm really jazzed. I really do hope that this actually comes out, because there's been stuff like this that, at least since I've been alive, that have come out every couple of years, and you hear
right.
you hear it, you know, first announced. I remember seeing it on Shaq had a movie called Steel. And,
oh,
and in this movie, he had a woman who was in a wheelchair. And at the end of the movie, the wheelchair stood up. It was the first time I remember really seeing that in any sort of box office major movie. But before that, there were ideas and concepts about this for years. And I just remember, why doesn't any of this stuff actually come out?
Yeah, well, you know what they say. Science fiction is the paves the way for science fact, right?
Yeah, it's about time, because I've known plenty of people, honestly, that could benefit straight from this. And I'm really jazzed, and I hope we're going to have to keep in touch with this story, because yeah. I want to...
Well, it goes into clinical trial the next couple of weeks, and so we'll see how it does in the unveiling.
I'm really jazzed about this, about the fact that it may actually come to real life. Now, what I'm hoping for is it actually gets cheaper. That's the part to me is the shame, is this stuff's just bloody expensive.
But usually when technology first hits the surface, it's always expensive. Another thing that's important to note about this thing is it's pretty good about maintaining a good center of gravity. So one of the things people have been concerned about
is falling over.
And that is no longer a problem. This isn't a problem for this machine.
Now, how are they strapped into this? You know, because some wheelchairs, depending, they have leg straps. I've seen ones with seat belts. Now, I'm assuming you're going to need a third, like a chest strap.
Well, if you take a look at some of the images, there's a lot of images on Google Images and that sort of thing that have just been posted up. It has sort of a chest strap, and it also has a little armrest for the controls.
So it has, like a shoulder strap, like a backpack type of thing.
Yes, I believe that your legs are strapped in as well if you look pretty closely.
Oh, wow.
It looks like you can also sit the thing back down if you want to.
Oh, I kind of hope so, if you can make it stand up. Now, we're running into a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the new PlayStation 4 Pro, if that's what it's called.
Yes.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
So the PlayStation 4 Pro has been announced a little bit. It's finally out, but it has come out earlier than expected.
So I'm just gonna say this, get this out in the open. You know, I'm an Xbox fan. I just want everybody to know that I'm a tad bit biased here and just in a little bit of transparency here. But that being said,
I grew up with PlayStation. My first console I ever owned was a PlayStation 1, and then I remember getting a PlayStation 2 later on in life and just enjoying it.
Xbox is the best box.
I still to this day think the PlayStation 2 is the best console as far as ever made as far as like content and quality of games goes. It can be argued the Xbox 360 had maybe a little bit longer of a run. I don't know.
Well, it had a longer run. You just had to buy a new one every couple of years, and I'm an Xbox fan. So.
Yeah, but like the PlayStation 2, they didn't stop making games for it until like 2012.
It's funny you say that. I swear somebody just made an Atari game within the last couple of years.
You know, that's that doesn't surprise me. So... I guess this PlayStation 4 Pro isn't exactly a real 4K console. Now, I can't exactly speak for the movie viewing side of things. I bet you that the movie viewing side is 4K. But it looks like for the video games, they're doing quite a bit less detail than, you know, what 4K actually is.
Now, so, when you talk about movie side, are you talking about the Blu-ray, the player in itself, or are you talking about streaming? Because if it's streaming, I could see that. But my first assumption that it's not a 4K Blu-ray player.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's a 4K Blu-ray player, but I think it's the games itself that it doesn't run native 4K. Because running a 4K for video isn't quite as hard as running a game at 60 frames per second.
This is true.
So it's saying that it's a little bit closer to 1440p or 1800p, and that's quite a lot less than 2160p, which is what 4K is. Now, one of the things that it says is if you actually take a look at the screen itself, it actually does look breathtaking and amazing. And if the way that they have it to where the resolution goes, you would think there'd be jagged edges and just, you know, all kinds of buffering problems. But they have a lot of up processing that makes it look 4K, even though it really isn't.
It's so, you know, I actually don't really have a problem with that. Up converting really has been around for a while. Done right, you can't really tell. I mean, granted, it's not true. It's near 4K. It's not actual 4K. I actually don't have an issue with that.
Actually, honestly, if you're able to up convert to 4K so that the naked eye can't be able to tell, then that's actually a really good thing as far as like cost effectiveness. And it could pave the way for like future consoles and PCs and stuff like that being able to upconvert to 4K without there being too much of a problem.
I am curious on what more of the fanboys are saying, because honestly, when it comes to anything, the fans are the hardest critics. I don't have a problem with that. Matter of fact, if Microsoft said it's 4K upconverting on the new Xbox One, I'd be fine with it, because like Shay said, you know, it's just cheaper to have up-converting processors and processes on there.
So what the company has said itself is magic. It's kind of funny. So Guerrilla Games manager Herman Holst has said, there's a lot of magic sauce happening. It's not native 4K, but you can see for yourself. It's prospectively so close you wouldn't be able to see the difference. So kind of the best way that I can describe this is, you know what 1080i is?
Yes.
So 1080i is basically introverted. So, you know, you see one line and then one line's not there. You see another line's left.
It's basically what all old television used to be before full HD.
Yes. So this works in a similar way, but done in a checkered pattern. And then there's processors that are running it to fill in the blanks, basically. And it actually seems to work pretty well. I've seen some pictures and some gameplay for it, and it looks beautiful. Now, one of the things, you know, that's really important too is, even on PCs, a $1,200 video card struggles to run 4K games at 60 frames per second sometimes. So it's kind of a nice workaround. So that way...
Yeah, so you'd probably have to even do that. You'd probably have to do an SLI or quad SLI just to get everything to work
right
at 4K.
So it's kind of a nice little fix, and you know, say what you want about it not being complete 4K and all its shortcomings, but it's actually kind of cool that they've been able to do this. Like, it's kind of a cool workaround.
See, I'm actually really okay. I'm okay with that. You know, originally I'm thinking about it going, that's lame, but you know, if they admit it out in the open that it's an upconverting 4K, I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't see a problem with that. For one, it's cheaper. It's gonna save the price, because as Shay said, a $1,200 video card has issues with it. Imagine how expensive a PlayStation 4 would be if they put the hardware that could actually run it natively.
And I think we're gonna be seeing a similar thing when the Xbox gets dropped.
Well, the Xbox is interesting because there's two Xboxes. There's one coming out. There's one that's already out this year called the S, and the major difference is it does 4K. And the power brick is inside, from what I've read.
Oh, thank God.
There is one coming out next year, according to all the rumors I have read, and there's been quite a lot on this one lately, is they've been calling it the Scorpion. Now, the S is just a minor revision. The next one is, well, it's the same generation. It's supposed to be an all-around better console. Now, from what I've read, it even comes with VR goggles in the high-end model.
Oh, nice.
That's an older rumor. So I'm okay with it. I think there's nothing wrong with upconverting. Now, I had an issue when you're running the old 480p, 480i DVD players upconverted to full HD. I always had issues with that, because that never looked right to me.
It doesn't look right because they're not doing complete upconvert. They're not taking their time to get the processors and stuff to clean everything up.
And there's not... And the other thing is, I don't know if there was enough information. When you have 1080p, there's a lot of information there that I think you can play with.
Yeah. Definitely. So another thing that PlayStation's done is they now have a $25 dongle that can make hooking your DualShock 4 controller up to your computer use its full and untap its full capability. So before, you could do it with Bluetooth, but it was limited on what the controller could actually do.
Okay, so it's basically, that's catching up what Microsoft has with all the dongles and stuff they've done.
Yes. So you know how Microsoft has its Microsoft PC where you can play your games on your PC and your Xbox?
Yeah, the issue that I think that's selective titles only. It's not everything, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So PlayStation has its own version of it, although I don't understand. I don't completely understand the point. I guess if I were to argue, I would say like your mom and dad are watching. This is to say if you're like still living with your parents.
So it's like the Wii U bit.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit. It's like, so you have somebody watching TV in one room, and then you can go in your room, turn on your PlayStation 4, run it in rest mode, and play on your computer. So what it is it kind of mirrors what your PS4 is doing. It's a lot like we talked in a previous episode about the PlayStation Play or TV or whatever.
This is a cool concept.
And so with this dongle, you plug it in. It's like a little small USB stick, too, although be careful with USB sticks.
As we just learned.
In our last episode. So you plug it in, and you can use...
So it's like the Chromecast, basically.
In a sense, yeah. So, I think that's a really good way to put it. So what it does is you can connect it, and it'll have your full capabilities, including motion sensors, touchpad, and headphone jack. So the way this works is, one, you turn on your PS4, put it in rest mode. Two, connect a controller to your computer with the USB cable or combo or dongle. Three, launch PS4 Remote Play on your computer. Click start, then sign in with your Sony account, and you can play your games.
Now, see, I was... interesting. See, because now I'm wondering if they're going to be able to do this with a TV. Because I think it'd be cool if you could do something similar but have a Chromecast-esque device and plug it back into your television. Because that's what I thought you said at first, but then I'm like, you know, wait a minute, it's hooked up to a computer. That makes sense. But I think it'd be cooler if you could just plug this, even if it was like a bigger box, just plug it in there and you can stream that way.
We talked about it on a separate episode. That is a thing. They have something. It's a $100 little console, the PlayStation Play or the PlayStation Vue. I think is what it's called. I think it's the PlayStation Vue, that it plays old PlayStation 1 games, and you can play your PS Vita games, but you can also mirror from your...
So
it's basically the same thing, but in a smaller console. Unfortunately, that is $100. This dongle for your PC is only at like $25.
Nah, see, I think this is cool, especially if you have like a laptop or whatever that you're able to play in your room. I think that's, you know, I think that's neat. That'd be kind of cooler, though, if you're able to do split screen that way and it put one screen on that one and once, you know.
I wonder if you can do that. I know you can do it with the PlayStation Vue. Like, I know you can do it with that, the little TV thing.
Because we're definitely going to have to keep up with what happens on the new PlayStation when it comes. Is it out yet?
It is out. It is something you can do. I just think it's really cool that, like, it seems like now... consoles are pushing the envelope a little bit further than, you know, what they were in the past. And I know you can do the same kind of thing with Steam, with the Steam boxes.
But I
don't know. Like, gaming has become such a different monster in the last year.
I think what it is the technology is finally at a point that it's possible to do something like this in a console. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to gsmcpodcast.com. Click on the Technology Podcast and subscribe to us. You can find us anywhere and everywhere on the interwebs. Also, subscribe to our other myriad of shows with a lot of great content on the GSMC network. The other thing I want you to do, go to Facebook.com, go to the search bar, type in GSMC Technology Facebook page, and like our page. This is episode 30. And if you have any comments, questions, or you just have some awesome articles you want us to look at and talk about on the show, do us a favor and put that in episode 30. I'm Jonathan Charney.
And I'm Shay Northrup.
And as always, thank you for listening.